Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And Jim, we should point out to folks that you are joining us by phone today because you're up in New York getting ready to do some things for CNN International. And while you were on the train, nothing happened. Trump didn't tweet, no news made. So I'm sure you won't have much to talk about up there. But good to have you as always.
Good to have me. I was going to say, by the time people listen to this, they'll probably have like half the cabinet resign anyway.
Foreshadowing the bad martini. But let's start with the good martini. Jim, if you had said a couple of weeks ago or even further back that the good martini for conservatives would be that John McCain's back in town, people might have looked at you a little funny. But we're really glad John McCain's back in town today. Not only is it a great sign that despite a grim diagnosis last week that John McCain is back on the job and still active and committed to doing his job, it would appear that he is actually going to help shepherd along what has been a very difficult process with the health care bill. As we know, there was an original Senate bill that didn't get a vote. Then there was the amended Senate bill that didn't get a vote. Then Mitch McConnell said there was going to be an up or down vote, regardless of how it was going to turn out on the 2015 repeal bill. Apparently, that's not going to happen. But now there is going to be a motion to proceed today. This is not a final vote or anything on the House bill that passed several weeks ago and obviously passed narrowly. At the time, it was said to be dead, but now, given what's happened in the Senate, this appears to be the best of several difficult options. Mitch McConnell has said this is just the motion to proceed. Members will have the opportunity to amend it, and obviously, if it ever passes, there will be some effort needed to hammer out a consensus version with the House. So no illusions here, Jim. There's a long way to go. There's still a lot of gunk in here that some conservatives and people with other perspectives might not like. But as we've discussed over and over again, leaving the health care system the way it is for Republicans is simply not an option. So the fact that this is likely to pass today is a good first step.
Yeah, it says something that this is considered the good news, but this is a necessary first step. You can't vote on anything until you vote on the motion to proceed. Just moments before we started taping, I saw that it sounded like Kentucky Senator Rand Paul was willing to sign on as long as his straight repeal option gets voted on. And if that's what it takes to get him to, you know, get on board for this step, fine. For those handful of Republican senators and Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins are the two that I've most often mentioned in this category. Look, if you don't want to vote for the motion to proceed, you know, never mind voting for passage of the bill. If you're, you know, you're basically saying, no, I don't even want to debate this yet. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised you'll get accused of saying you want to support Obamacare or you want to support the status quo. Because at that point, you're saying, not only do I not like the underlying bill, not only do I have no faith that any of the amendments will improve it, I don't even want to vote to have discussions about this on the floor. So they're going to get some, anybody who votes no today is going to get some flack and probably deserves so. If you want to see change coming to healthcare system, this is kind of a necessary first step. Now, as you said, long way to go, but it's good to have John McCain back in a full roster, so to speak, and we will see where the debate goes from here.
Another John is weighing in on this. Remember, I think this guy maybe made the nominees list for fading into oblivion a couple of years ago. Former House Speaker John Boehner has once again said the GOP will never repeal or replace Obamacare. So thanks for that encouragement, Mr. Former Speaker.
Yelling from his lawn.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's move on to the bad martini now, Jim. And I think this is pretty similar to the one we had yesterday, although more has happened on this front, so it needs to be talked about. President Trump has apparently decided that publicly ridiculing his own attorney general is apparently going to consume a great deal of his time and energy. Of course, last week he lashed out at Jeff Sessions in the interview with the New York Times. He talked about how Sessions should never have recused himself, and he should have told Trump he was going to recuse himself, and then that way he never would have nominated him. And then yesterday he called Sessions beleaguered. That was minor league. This is big league today, or big league, as some contend that Trump actually means when he says that word. He says this: Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Trump campaign, quote, quietly working to boost Clinton. So where's the investigation, AG? And then following that, Attorney General Jeff Sessions has taken a very weak position on Hillary Clinton crimes. Where are emails and DNC server and intel leakers? Jim, as you mentioned yesterday, the guy's got a phone. He could probably talk to Jeff Sessions anytime he wanted to. And for whatever reason, he's apparently lost faith in Jeff Sessions, whether it's only about recusal, who knows. But Hugh Hewitt talked with the new White House communications director yesterday, Anthony Scaramucci, and basically called him out and said, it's clear the president wants him gone, isn't it, Anthony? And Scaramucci says, I have enormous respect for the attorney general, but I do know the president pretty well. And if there's this level of tension in the relationship that's that public, then you're probably right. But I don't want to speak for the president on that because he's a cabinet official. And I sort of think that has to be between the president of the United States and the cabinet official. So, Jim, it's not just Jeff Sessions. It was yesterday the president was speaking to the Boy Scouts, mind you, about the need to get 50 votes plus Mike Pence on the Senate health care bill. And he said this about Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price if they don't get there.
What, you going to get the votes? He better get them. Oh, he better. Otherwise, I'll say, Tom, you're fired. I'll get somebody.
Now, as the crowd roared for some reason, Trump went over to Price and Rick Perry, who was also there, and made it seem like he was joking. But the look on Tom Price's face while he was smiling was, I'm not quite sure how to react to this. So, Jim, how do you react to this?
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't usually see presidents joking about firing members of the cabinet, particularly at the Boy Scout Jamboree. Greg, remember knot tying? Remember camping and tourniquets and all the traditional Boy Scout stuff? Can we talk about that stuff instead of saying, yeah, because the Health and Human Services Secretary runs the Senate, right? He's in charge of the Republican majority. You know, obviously, look, the Health and Human Services Secretary, no doubt, has a role in attempting to sell the legislation and putting it together and discussing how the department would implement it. But look, if, you know, Murkowski and, let's say, Rand Paul or Rob Portman or Mike Lee say no, it's not like Tom Price put him up to it. It's just this bizarre lashing out we're seeing from the president towards the people that he selected, that he told us, I hired the best people, he kept reminding us. Now, the decision to not prosecute Hillary, I seem to remember the president saying during the transition that there was no need for that, that Hillary had suffered enough and that she and Bill were good people. And now all of a sudden he's lashing out at Sessions. He said this very much seems to be a displaced anger over the decision to recuse. I'm really intrigued by the Scaramucci comments because on the one hand, I don't know whether we should compliment him or give him a little bit of praise for just laying his cards on the table and acknowledging the obvious. Yes, it does seem pretty clear the president wants him gone. On the other hand, when he says this is a sensitive personnel matter that is between the president, the cabinet official, and the several million followers of Trump on Twitter, he's sharing this entire very protracted public process. It seems very clear that Trump is ready, wants to get rid of Sessions. And what's weird is this guy who's boasting at the Jamboree and is well known for his television show in which he told people, you're fired. Look, Mr. President, if you really want to get rid of the attorney general, as bad a move as I think this is, just fire him. Don't just put him through this like endless public humiliation process, these constant morning tweets that are about how little faith you have in him. I don't think Jeff Sessions is going to resign anytime soon. I think all other indications that he enjoys the work. He just is a president who's decided to undermine him every chance he gets. And the other thing, let's say you get rid of Jeff Sessions, then you have to replace him. You need to find somebody who the Senate would confirm. And, you know, getting rid of Sessions would infuriate all of the Republicans in the Senate. It would infuriate a good portion of conservatives who see Jeff Sessions as one of the strong conservatives, and certainly on immigration issues, probably one of the biggest immigration hawks in the entire cabinet. And oh, by the way, it would just like pour gasoline on the fire on the Russia investigation. So I don't really get what the president gets out of firing Jeff Sessions other than just feeling good for a little while. And then he's back with an even bigger problem than when he started. So that's where we are now. I really hope somebody can medicate the president. I really hope somebody can calm him down because he just seems to be fuming more and more each day. And it's bad for the president's interests. I think it's very bad for conservatives' interests to have a president who's just lashing out every morning, undermining everything he wants to do in the legislative arena.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. But Jeff Sessions did get some good news, because remember way back yesterday when the rumors were that Rudy Giuliani was going to be replacing Jeff Sessions, and then turns out Rudy Giuliani came out and said Jeff Sessions did the right thing in recusing himself from the Russia investigation. So I'm surprised we didn't get an anti-Rudy tweet this morning, and apparently the new rumor is Ted Cruz for attorney general. So, Jim, place your bets for tomorrow.
Cruz put out a statement saying, heck no. Love where I am. Love what I'm doing. I'm interested in this. Greg, I'm only concerned with the people of Texas to do my Ted Cruz impression.
That's a very good one.
Thank you. At the heart of it, look, why would he give up being a very influential senator, a guy who's still being mentioned as a president someday, in order to be Trump's second attorney general, and for God knows how long? Because as we've all known, if Trump got tired of Jeff Sessions in 6 months, what do you think, Cruz lasts 3 months, right? I mean, a week? Within 2 days, Trump would start tweeting about what a terrible choice he was. So the president has got to recognize a lot of these personnel. Once you make the choice, yes, you do have the authority to fire that person anytime you want, but you generally got to stick with them. Other rumors around today, and God knows whether they're accurate, that Rex Tillerson is reaching the end of his rope and getting increasingly infuriated, and that he intended to stay for at least a year, but now he's not even sure he can make that. So, you know, between the comments of the Jim Breen and everything, it's like, get rid of Tom Price, get rid of Jeff Sessions, get rid of Rex Tillerson. I mean, it's not even August, and we're going to get rid of the whole cabinet.
You know who's not busy? Chris Christie. And you know he'd do it. He might not get confirmed, but we know Chris Christie's willing to do anything for Donald Trump, so...
Yeah, but that would upset both the Republicans in New Jersey who are happy with his job performance.
Which is him and his wife, I think. So,
yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's at 80% disapproval. I don't think I've ever seen that number for anyone in public
office. Look, maybe he's just waiting for that call from the beach.
It'll be coming soon enough. All right, let's move on to the crazy martini now. And as we mentioned yesterday, this one got bumped as the crazy martini because we had to talk about Michael Phelps racing a CGI shark and people getting legitimately upset about the fact that it wasn't a real shark. It's the Kid Rock poll. Kid Rock, of course, has made it clear that he's very serious, at least in considering a run against Debbie Stabenow, who is the three-term Democratic incumbent. But now we've actually got some numbers associated with this hypothetical matchup, Jim. This is courtesy of Delphi Analytica. To gauge Richie's chances, and that's Kid Rock's real name, is Rob Richie, in a hypothetical general election matchup, Delphi Analytica conducted a poll from July 14th through 18th of 668 Michigan residents. Of respondents who stated a preference between Debbie Stabenow and Robert Richie, 54% stated that they would vote for Richie, while 46% said they would vote for Debbie Stabenow. These results could indicate that Richie is a popular figure in Michigan, Debbie Stabenow is unpopular, or some combination of concurrent trends. The relatively large 44% number of undecided respondents may be due to the early stages of the campaign. So when you factor in the undecideds, Jim, it's 30% for Kid Rock, 26% for Debbie Stabenow, who's been on the scene forever.
Yes, that was what jumped out at me when we alluded to this yesterday, Greg, but this is the part that I think deserves more attention. Look, you know, Kid Rock is a celebrity. Maybe some people are kind of flirting with the idea, but may not necessarily be willing to vote for him once November rolls around, although I suppose after last year's presidential election, we should not scoff. But 26%, and then the 46% who are undecided, you kind of figure most of Michigan residents would know what they think of Debbie Stabenow by now. She is a three-term incumbent. She was first elected to the Senate in 2000. But I went back, Greg, and I had to look. So, you know, without revealing exactly how old you and I are, she's been in politics basically our entire lives. Her first elected office was in as a county commissioner back in 1975. Well, I guess now people know how old we are. Michigan House of Representatives, gubernatorial election, ran for governor, ran for the U.S. House of Representatives. And she's been in politics a really long time. So you figure most people, like if you're a three-term incumbent, and you're in, you know, below 30, are you kidding me? Yes, it's a vote of residents, not registered voters, not likely voters. Maybe some of those people are just people who are tuned out and not going to vote. But that's a really weak number. So maybe, you know, Michigan Democrats really do have good reason to be panicking about the possibility of taking on a celebrity as unorthodox and controversial as Kid Rock might end up being. This is not where you want to be in a if you're a three-term incumbent like this. And I think it's safe to start wondering, between Rick Snyder winning the last two gubernatorial elections and Trump winning last year, you know, maybe Michigan isn't as blue a state as people think it is. And maybe just being the status quo, a longtime incumbent, isn't going to work for you the way it used to in the state of Michigan.
Wow. A couple things that come to mind here. First of all, this is a tweet following this poll. It's happening. New poll has Kid Rock leading Debbie Stabenow. This will shake up Washington. Texas Governor Greg Abbott. I don't know that he would necessarily strike me as the first big Kid Rock fan, but hey, given the way that Kid Rock bonded with Mitt Romney, you never know. Greg Abbott could be a huge Kid Rock fan.
Greg, it's going to shake up Washington? Does Washington seem staid and boring and calcified and status quo right now? I think Washington's pretty darn shook, okay? To quote another musician, it's all shook up, okay? So I think can't get much more shook than it already is.
Here's the other thing that comes to mind. When you look at Debbie Stabenow, obviously she's pretty much your standard liberal, but she presents herself as very prim and proper and a little bit stern. Don't you just have this impression that almost on a daily basis when he was in high school, Kid Rock got sent to the office and that's who he had to face, someone of that type of personality every day? Mr. Ritchie, go see Mrs. Stabenow.
Greg, that is the perfect metaphor. Debbie Stabenow, report to the principal's office, 2018. Or Kid Rock, school's out for summer this November.
Oh, it's so much fun. Time's running out, Ted Nugent. Make up your mind. All right, Jim, have a great time up in New York. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.